This is an excerpt from A Short Distance Behind Us, a story featuring a couple who takes a lengthy road trip to determine the fate of their relationship. Jake and Braylon have been together for a while. Braylon wants to get married. Jake is not sure. Jake does not know that Braylon is pregnant. This excerpt occurs toward the end of the story after the couple has already endured many mishaps and arguments and is not looking good for them. It is dark in so many ways when we cross the state line into Nevada. Bray's head is pitched sideways at an impossible angle and she is snoring into her left shoulder. What is she dreaming about? Us? Our children? The indelible mark we'll leave upon this world? Or maybe nothing at all? Her mind one with the black, flat abyss through which we move at 80 miles an hour. We are in the desert, surely. So at first I think mirage, hallucination. But it is nighttime, and I am not fevered or dehydrated. In the distance, rising up from the desert floor, is a circle of wildly spinning lights, and I think UFO, which would seem a fitting end to our odyssey. As I move toward it, I see a second circle of lights adjacent to the first, also flashing, casting multicolored beams upward, endless spokes thrusting into the star-filled sky. Bray, I whisper, but she is now awake and staring at the spectacle ahead, clutching a bag of candy and smiling the smile of the rapt. It's a Ferris wheel, she says, a double Ferris wheel. It's perfect. We move toward that beacon in the desert as if hypnotized, seduced by the alien presence of light and chaos in an otherwise still and silent world. An hour later, we are forking over $30 for two unlimited ride bracelets. The midway is vacant but for a few largely inert barkers, and we buy a huge cotton candy bush on a stick before moving toward the haunted mansion, a paint and plywood funhouse built entirely in a semi-trailer. Skulls and ghosts decorate the outside walls, and spiderwebs dangle from the roof. We step onto the shaky aluminum stairs and into the dark corridor, where Bray promptly bangs into a circus mirror. We stare into it, and I want to say, "Here it is, a new view of us." But I look at Bray and see that she is staring solemnly at her mirror image. Her head and legs are spaghetti thin, but her belly is wide and round, encompassing the horizontal length of the mirror, and she caresses it gently. I step behind her, my head and legs a slim shadow behind hers, my ponderous belly an outline, and place my hand over hers as it moves in small circles across the great expanse of her girth. I kiss the back of her head and lean into her, our eyes meeting the reflection. She stares at me for a long time, as if trying to read my mind, as if trying to see something new in this altered version of me, this altered version of us, different yet the same, old yet new, small yet expanding. Braylon? She closes her eyes and moves my hand across her belly, and in the mirror I see her holding a baby, then another, rocking them, smiling, placing her fingers on their downy heads as they grow into tow-haired children, toddlers in baseball jerseys, boys with dirt-smudged faces, boys with puppies and basketballs, boys with their heads buried under hoods of cars, boys in bathing suits, dress suits, men in tuxedos, men in sedans, men with babies in their arms, all staring back at Bray and me, standing there, right there, only a short distance behind us.